Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is today's June 21?
Yep.
Yeah, first day of summer.
Yeah, first day of summer, the longest day of the year, right?
Yep, summer solstice.
Yeah, but I don't know if we're going to... Well, this is what, the sun's kind of busting out now.
It's nice outside, though. Like, even when it was raining a little bit earlier, it wasn't really gloomy.
Yeah.
It's nice outside. It's compared to what we've had. It's been like 96 degree humidity for the past week, so I'll take this. It's fine.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be really nice this tomorrow and Sunday. It's supposed to be beautiful. I'm definitely going to try to maybe, I don't think I have time tomorrow, but Sunday try to get a bike ride around the park, Central Park, get that cracking, you know? How's everybody doing?
I'm good. Today is the International Day of Purpose, which was founded by our friend to the show, Jovian Zane.
Oh, word?
Yeah, so this is the third or fourth annual, I think. I can't remember.
Okay.
So, and even though by the time you guys will be hearing this, the annual celebration will be over, I do encourage you to go to dayofpurpose.org. If you're out here untethered, as Jeff would say, and need to figure out what you should be doing with your life, there are some assets and worksheets on there that can help you find your way. But I just finished a Twitter chat with a few people, some other creatives in the industry, and just in general, entrepreneurs about like taking that leap to doing your own thing and what that looks like. Cause you know, people think this shit is easy.
Yeah.
It's cause it looks cute on the gram. Nah, B. Shit's hard.
Well, they think ultimately, right? Like you don't, I'm using air quotes, like you don't answer to anyone. Right. And so that is the fascination, right? Everyone falls in love with this idea that, hey, you don't have a boss. Yes, you don't have a boss, but like there's so many other factors that come into actually being able to do this, do something you love, and earn a living.
Exactly. Yep. That's the part, and earn a living. And I don't even want to discourage anybody from it because it is fulfilling and liberating to an extent when you are able to make it work, but everybody ain't able. And you have to be clear on why you're doing it. Like if you just decide you want to work for yourself just because you think you're going to make a gang of money, you're in for a rude awakening. Cause
yeah, you're playing yourself.
Yeah. That first year or so is most likely going to be super lean.
Yeah.
And you got to really know what your goal is so that you
can. Oh, nigga, ain't most likely.
it's going to be lean as a slice of bacon.
Yeah. Like, especially if you already work good, like especially if you were already making good money and you took the leap, like it's like a setback for a setup, if you want to call it that. But you go through, like, it's feast and famine out here sometimes. So we were just having a conversation about how to push through that, how to maintain your vision, what that looks like, what the behind the scenes stuff looks like, because I was one of the last people in my crew to really answer the call to entrepreneurship because I was afraid of those lean times, because I know I get lazy sometimes and I wanted to know there was a check that was going to hit every 2 weeks, regardless of what the fuck I was doing. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, I finally reached kind of the other side and am finally on a little bit more stable ground, but that was hard. It was hard. So anyway, that aside, whether it be entrepreneurship, whether it be something you need to be doing in terms of outreach, whether it be how you give back, I encourage you to go to dayofpurpose.org and just spend a little time figuring out if you're answering whatever your higher calling may be. Because I do believe we all need to use our gifts to a bigger purpose.
Yeah.
And so that's my ministerial speech of the show.
And peace to Jovi for, I didn't even know she did this. So good for her. Peace to her. I didn't know this was a thing that she did, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's been big. I'm proud of her for it.
Good. No, where's she living?
She and George moved to LA.
They moved to California.
That's such an old.
Where that gal at?
I ain't seen them. I ain't seen them around.
They're back and forth a lot, but they moved to LA.
Okay, yeah, because I used to see her in the gym, you know what I'm saying? But it's been quite a long time. And I was like, where they at? They done got up the move. They ain't tell me. I wanted to send them something. you know, shit. So peace to them. I know y'all going to hate it, but I'm back in. The haves and the have-nots.
Here we go.
I watched the two episodes on Tuesday night. I hadn't watched it in years. And peace to Sydney, friend of the show, and Brian, who I've neither one of you have met yet. We all worked together at Atlantic. And then peace to Aunt Penny, who also watches it. And they've been telling me to watch.
Not Aunt Penny, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, she loves it. So I was like, you know, Tuesday, I was at the crib. And I was like, you know what? It wasn't nothing on. I think it was raining Tuesday, too. So I
was
like,
terrible weather.
It was terrible outside. I was like, you know, I'm just going to watch this shit. And all I'm going to say is, okay, so it's probably like at least a 3-year gap for me between the last time I watched it and now. 2 to 3
years. You're lying. It ain't been that long.
No, this show's been on since probably like
having the have nots. Jeff, it has not been 2 years since you were talking about having the have nots on this damn show.
I'm telling you, I think the show
been maybe on since seasons, like but not years.
Okay, things. It's been a minute because the whole time at the length, Sydney and them stories be like, yo, you don't watch, and I was never watching. It's been a minute since I watched it.
If you say so,
they don't have. So I watched it, and I have to say this, the show has gotten so much more raw since I watched it. Like before, when I was watching Heavy, it was, you know, the nighttime soap opera thing. So it was like over the top and it was, you know, ridiculous and all that shit, right? Which it still is. But now, yo, first of all, they're cursing on this show like crazy.
Oh, people are doing that across the board. If your show comes on later than 9 o'clock, you out there, especially on basic cable. It's shit. I think I heard fuck.
No, motherfucker, twice in this show. Now they beep it out, but you can blatantly see that that's what they're saying. Like, definitely a ton of shit, faggot. Like, I'm like, whoa, what is going on here? It's crazy. Wow. Like, they curse so much on this show. Like, and then it's bonkers. Yo, a dude, it showed a dude get raped in prison.
Wow.
On this show, like literally, like they grab the dude through the bars, and they're like holding him against the bars, and you see your man like pumping on. I'm like, yo, what is going on the OWN network? Like, this is bonkers. You know, it was disturbing to say the least. Like, it was, yo, that show is wild. It's really like Tyler has turned it, the heat all the way up on that show. And obviously, it's working.
Is it good or is it just salacious?
No, it's still good and salacious. Like, you know, because that was the wild thing about it. Like I said, I haven't watched it in a very long time, but when I watched it, I didn't feel like I missed nothing.
Like, well, that's how soap operas work.
Exactly. Like, it wasn't like I wasn't looking at it like, what the fuck? Who's this? There was a couple of characters I didn't quite know, but like, you could kind of pick up pretty quickly, you know, what was happening. You know, I'm sure I missed a lot of craziness, but like, yeah, it was good, but it was just like, yo, this show is crazy now. Like, it's, you know, so I don't know, man. It was wild. I'm a tune in this Tuesday though and see what's good. But so be prepared for some more have and the have nots reviews from me. I had Let It Go, but I'm back in fully. Yeah, that shit was crazy. That was a wild ass show. Did y'all watch? And then there's another show on OWN because you know I'm a inside, I'm like a 68-year-old black woman called Ambition.
Yeah, I heard it's a ripoff of Blackish. Is that true?
No.
Ambition. No, it's not Ambition. That's another show they have coming that's supposed to be a ripoff of Blackish. Yeah, there is a
show on OWN with a younger kind of cat. There is. I can't remember the title. I saw a trailer or something for it. Yeah, I can't remember the title of it. But Ambition is basically just another black soap opera. It's basically like a black dynasty. Like, you know, like a very rich families. Stars Robin Givens. That woman Braylee Evans is in it. It's a couple. Oh, the cat that used to be He was on a Shy last season. He played the guy that came back and was like thugging all the gangs, the older guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The one who I'm always confused with
Glenn Turman.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's on it. He plays Robin's father. And this is, like I said, it's based in Atlanta. They talk about Atlanta a lot on the show. And Brian Bosworth is on this shit, actually, which is bonkers. He's like the white rich guy. And it's just like, well, it costs a lot of salaciousness. Everybody's fucking everybody. And, you know, there's all this stuff going on. And this one wants to take over the company and blah, blah, blah. You know, it was cool. I didn't love it, honestly. But I'm going to give it another shot. But, yeah, peace to them. And then did y'all watch Queen Sugar?
You know, I didn't, for some reason, ever catch up with last season of Queen Sugar, so I still got to catch up with season two. But I heard like it started off with a bang, but I have no idea what's going on.
With a bang. Did you watch it, bro?
No, I didn't. You know, I'm also in that boat where I just kind of, like, I initially started like the first season, and I got through like the first maybe like 2-3 episodes, and then I just fell behind. And honestly, man, I just never caught back
up. Yeah.
I just feel like I'm totally out of the loop, you know what I'm saying?
And that's definitely, and then Queen Sugar is definitely a show that you have to keep up with. Like, you know, I mean, you could try to jump back in, but there's a lot of stuff you're not going to quite understand why this one is that way or this one is that way. This new season started off, they introduced David Alan Greer is now going to be on the season. I don't know how many episodes, but he's on the first season. It looks like he plays like the old love interest of what's her name? The aunt. Jesus.
Why why can't I think of her name? Yeah, her.
Vi. Yeah. He plays the old love interest of Aunt Vi and stuff. And so, like, his arc was just kind of like he was driving his way, like, through the South. Like, he's driving. He kept, it's interesting because he kind of kept making all these stops. And he'd stop at some, like, little store and, like, talk to the people. And then one time he pulled over on the side of the road and these women were cooking like barbecue, and so he bought some barbecue for these people, and you know, so like that was kind of, he was like kind of working his way towards I think that in the show they actually live closer to Baton Rouge than Louisiana, so he was working his way towards,
you mean, you know, the New Orleans?
Yeah, the New Orleans, exactly. So he was working his way towards, you know, whatever town that they're in and stuff. So, but it was really good. Yeah, it was a lot. It was a heavy episode. Like, it was like start off definitely with a bang, and it's going to be a very intense season, as they all are. But like this one is a real bang. Like, oh, this is, I don't know how they're going to work their way through this, actually. So it's going to be kind of interesting. But yeah, but I mean, you know, peace to Queen Sugar. We love it. And yeah, I hope y'all catch up so we can kind of talk about it.
Yeah, I got a shout out.
Okay, go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Shout out to Mona Me. This week we had Tammy.
Oh yeah, you have a new show. Yeah.
Premiered.
How'd it do?
It did pretty well.
Good.
It was actually well received. So shout out to everybody involved that really kind of made it happen. It was light. It was funny. It was fun. So yeah, you know, peace to everybody on the Mona Me team that, you know, wheels in motion.
But also shout out to Tammy Roman, because Tammy is the original Black reality star.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to give her props. Like, I would wear a shirt every day that say all y'all bitches is my children if I was Tammy.
Because she started in the '80s, right?
Well,
she was on second season of Real World.
Was that 80s or early 90s?
No, that was early 90s.
Okay.
It was like 93.
Yeah, it was really early.
Time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the longest time. And she, you know, got the first person kicked out the house in Real mm-hmm. World history, like all that shit. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, she did the whole reality thing. She married an athlete. Tammy did all that shit. She started all that.
So, no doubt.
Tammy for still being in this damn game. And I think I read somewhere, and Sean, you may or may not know, where she was watching Basketball Wives and she called VH1 herself, like, I don't know what the fuck y'all doing, but I need to be on this shit.
Yeah, so, she wasn't on there first.
Here she is several seasons later. I mean, I've only met her once. I met her once years ago at this little she was like a show, because her daughter, I don't know if she still is, but at one point her daughter was kind of trying to sing and rap and stuff. And it was a little showcase that I went to, and she was there, and I sat with her. And then we only met once or whatever. She was cool as shit.
Yeah, like,
I liked her a lot. And actually, we like started talking, and we had like a lot. We had crazy shit in common. Like, you know, because I knew she was from New York, but I didn't know where. So we started talking, and she told me she was born in Mount Vernon, New York. And I was like, oh shit, I was born in Mount Vernon, New York. And she was like, oh shit. And she's like, yeah, then me and my mother, we moved to White Plains. And I was like, oh shit, I moved to White Plains. And then we started kind of like kicking it like that and all that. Like, she was really cool. She's funny yeah. as hell, really kind of, you know, down to earth. She is like, and I don't say this in a disparaging way, but she is really like an auntie. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's talking her little yeah. shit. She's having her little drink.
And I don't think she would take it disparaging. Like, she used to yeah. do these things on Instagram called the Bonnet Chronicles or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was literally her and her bonnet.
She's not doing that, right? She doesn't do that anymore.
I don't think so.
Yeah, she smokes her little cigarettes, and now she got a little, you know, got her boyfriend, you know, who she seems to be, you know, really, you know, in love with. And he seems, you know, to reciprocate. And, you know, no, like I said, I only met her once, you know, so I'm not saying I know her at all, but the little time we spent together, it was very pleasant. You know, I really enjoyed her a lot. Now, you want to talk about, we could all talk about it, but you want to talk about OJ joining Twitter?
Lord Jesus. So Arenthal refuses to go quietly into this good night. And
I don't know why y'all thought he would.
And mind his goddamn business. And just like, nigga, all you got to do is sit down and be free. That is literally all you need to do. So he made...
But let me ask you a question. Why are niggas so mad at him being on Twitter?
Well, it's not so much that we're mad, but it's more like, how you dumb ass... Because it was needing to still be in the mix that got his ass in jail in the first fucking place, right? And so he posted a whole trailer to the fact that he posted an announcement on Twitter that he was going to be on Twitter, which is amazing. This nigga is definitely going to talk himself into some shit though. Like it, like he can't help it. Like, oh, why would you want to be on Twitter? I think that's the thing with all of us. Like, why would your ass want to make yourself accessible to the public in a non-controlled way? On this, like, why would you do it to yourself?
He was hacked in like the first like couple of hours.
Yeah, like it's the dumbest shit.
And like, furthermore, my thing is like, I think there's a deep rooted thing about you got away with it, my nigga. Like, chill.
That's, right. that's really the way we all feel. Like, at us, right?
Like, what yeah. are you doing exactly, dude? Like, you know, you're a terrible person and you got away with this and you're still like poking this bear. And it's just like, it just feels, I don't even know, you know, what the word is to tell you what it feels like.
It's narcissism. It's like, you are so pressed. Like, OJ cannot stand not being OJ. He can't abide by it. Like, he craves, even now, even after you did, how long was this motherfucker in jail? Like, even after you did time.
He did about 7-year stretch.
Yeah, so you right. did almost a dime. You just happened to get paroled. All you gotta do is go to Florida and sit down. That's it. Just go chill.
Go ahead, Sean.
He's not able to do that. And what I think is, listen, if we got a news report that something terrible happened to him, I mean, who's gonna be surprised about that? Right, like, who's going to open up the newspaper and reopen up the newspaper? Sound like an old nigga.
Who's gonna
open up the Amsterdam
news?
Come on, Arenthal got killed.
Arenthal James got cut up in a dice game.
Like, but that's the avenue that he's going down.
Exactly.
You know what it is, man? To me, I mean, like Nas said, it's definitely narcissism. I think because it's been so far removed now, you know, most people under a certain age, and that's more people under the in that group than in the other group, don't really realize how famous he was.
True.
Like, because it's been a long time. You know what I'm saying? He was famous. He went to jail, and I mean, he did the trial, rather. That was in the 90s. Like, so it's been a long time since he was on that top of the hill. But, like, when he was on top of that hill, like, yo, he was one of the most famous people maybe in the world, definitely in the country.
Well,
like,
also, they don't understand. Yeah, they also don't understand the difference in fame for athletes that many years ago. Mm-hmm. because, you know, OJ was one of the first, like, athletes that was doing branded commercials and, mm-hmm. and movies. And that is so natural now that I don't think people really understand how big it was then. Like, in it, yep. like he's running through the airport, you know, yeah, leaping over
the 70s luggage.
And 80s. Yeah, being an airplane, like, all of that shit was massive. And it was still, you had to be, like, we had superstar athletes, but they were rare. They were like and they were big. So it wasn't mm-hmm. like everybody on the team was a star. Like, you knew the most important people on the team. And,
and that's he was like Jordan level famous, you know, like back then.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you know, absolutely.
So I'm saying all that to say that, of course, he wants to be on Twitter and stuff like that because in his mind, he's still O.J. Simpson. He's like, nigga, I'm still fucking O.J. He said that he just wanted to, I'm paraphrasing, but he just wanted to say for the record that he and Chris never messed around. It was never anything between them. He was never attracted to her like that. You know, Rob was his best buddy. He said he never got a vibe that she was attracted to him like that. And he said he's very proud of Khloe, as well as all the other Kardashian girls, and their dad would be proud of them, but Khloe is definitely not his child.
I don't really know that he needs to comment on that, but okay.
Honestly, man, I'm gonna say it because it does kind of rub me the wrong way. Like, the way people talk about her and that being her dad, like, that shit is just so, it's just too much for me. Like, I get it. We don't like them. We think they're these, you know, sort of bad people. But even if that was her dad, like, is that really a thing to say to somebody? Like,
on Twitter.
I mean, just in general. Like, yeah. what is the angle here? Like, what is the goal? Like, does that make you feel good to, like, be mean to somebody? Like, I mean that sincerely. Like, what if that really is her dad? Like, what is that? What if that really is her pops?
Yeah, no, I get it.
It's just like they're listen, man, they don't make it hard to be easy pickings, right? Like, they make it very easy and very convenient. But I think that there's a way to sort of deal with them and chastise them about a lot of things that they do, and you don't have to go that route. I just think going that route is just really, it's really cheap, it's really fucking whack. And honestly, man, it's an old ass joke. It ain't funny. Nothing funny about it. You don't look fly or clever. She's kind of whack.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I do not believe that Rob is her biological dad, but I'm also not speculating on who is, nor do I think it really matters that much. You know what I mean? Like, those are her sisters. She's been raised with them. She's been raised to know Rob Kardashian as her father.
That's her family. And maybe he is her father. That's her family. You know what, Mr. Earl, a lot of you niggas daddy.
Exactly. Their story is no different than a whole bunch of other niggas.
A whole lot of y'all. Deacon Ernest been coming over there after we fish fry,
you know what I'm saying,
for a long time now. Okay.
Talking about he coming over for prayer to drop off the envelope for the tithes and shit.
Yeah, you just think you special because he bring you Christmas gifts?
Exactly. Oh, thank you, bro, for bringing that up, because I meant to bring this up last week, man. So I got a little pet peeve about the blacks at the church.
Uh-oh.
So I look, you know, praise the Lord and all that good stuff. You know? hallowed be his name, but I just find, like a black woman would say, I just find it funny how when everybody gets happy and does the starts to do the praise dance, I said it on the Twitter, but I want to bring it up here. How is the praise dance literally exactly the same? How is it the same thing? That's telling me y'all niggas is fronting.
No, it's not. Because
a nigga
not.
In Chicago and a nigga in Cleveland and a nigga in Houston.
What you supposed to do? You're supposed to do the juke. You're supposed to do the juke in one place and the snake in another place.
I'm saying it's literally the same dance step.
It's not the exact same. There's two elements.
It's that little shuffle thing that they do.
Yeah, you know why? Because have you heard the music for a praise dance?
Of course, it goes fast and all that.
And also because there is only a limited amount of body movement you can do in the church that's appropriate. Mm. That is easy. You don't flash nobody. You don't kick no legs up. You know, expose yourself. There's nothing untoward about it, right?
And I ain't saying do the damn and do the damn.
It's music that literally just makes you kind of want to hop a little something. Some people don't shuffle. They just move their shoulders and move their arms a little bit. You just get a little hop bounce going. But
it's just a whole bunch of these niggas in these churches making movies because they know they're going to get on Instagram that.
Because let me tell you why I'm arguing with you about this, because that's how I do my praise dance. And I'm not fronting when I do the praise dance. Now, is everybody full
of the flow? I didn't say everybody's fronting.
Hey, listen, Sean. I mean, Jeff, is everybody completely full of the Holy Spirit and overcome on a like, I can't help myself level? No, but sometimes you just got that energy because it's like fire shut up in your bones. That's what Jeremiah said. And you got to let it out. And you let it out in a way that's appropriate. It doesn't mean you're fronting. It means that you have this, it's like a kinetic energy up in you and you want to express it. And sometimes just waving your hands isn't enough. And when them drums get going, them claps get going, you get them shoulders moving and them little feet get the shuffling. And some people do it a little bit differently. Some people got to break out and do a whole full runabout around the church. And yeah, some people are fronting, but not everybody is fronting. And yeah, some of it is about what you observe as cultural observation is being appropriate, because in the Nigerian church, they drop it, get low, do all kind of other stuff that we don't do, right? So some of it is if you grew up in a church about the observation of what's appropriate in terms of your expression of spirit. But also, that doesn't mean you're fronting.
Also, you talking about shouting, I wouldn't call that praise dancing. Praise dancing is where Sister Jenkins got the unitard on.
Right.
And she come out doing the angel wings.
You talking about
getting happy. Like I said, we all see people get happy in church and really, you know, kind of get swept up by the Holy Spirit, as they say. And, you know, that brings on a whole lot of different type of movements of energy, right? You've seen the people passing out and crying and wailing and shouting and all that. Now that I get, because it's something that's
as Kelly would say, they're carrying on, although
when I was used to go to church in the regular, sometimes I'd be like, all right, that's enough now, come on. It's 20 minutes.
It's been 20 minutes.
I'm trying to get the hell up out of here. I'm trying to get the hell up out of here because the game is...
When you hear that Hammond organ going, dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun,
that's when you know you're going. And don't let the choir get that warrior cry.
Of course they get to going and all that, and yelling, and the ushers come down.
A half hour on your service.
Yeah, the ushers is coming down, and they, you know, carrying people out of there, and Miss Jenkins is wailing and crying. And I always used to wonder, like, okay, what's Miss Jenkins really wailing and crying about? I mean, obviously it's something about, you know, God, but also is it like, I feel like in a lot of those cases, of course, listen now, let me talk now. Listen, I feel like in a lot of those cases, a lot of that is, because it still happens every week. You know, we as Black people don't, you know, that generation especially don't do therapy and don't do those type of self-helpy kind of things too tough, right? They look to church for that more than anything, that generation, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like in a lot of cases, you know, like I said, Sister Jenkins or Deacon Ernest, as Sean said, when they get to really deep wailing and crying, that's really like their only way to kind of let out a lot of pain and anguish of whatever's happening or has happened in their life.
I don't think they would. I don't think anybody would deny that. I don't think anybody's ever suggested anything of that. You're being moved by the Spirit, but the reason you're moved by the Spirit is because of your circumstances and your experience and knowing what God has done in your life or is doing in your life or what you need him to do in your life. Sometimes you wailing and crying because of what you already came out of the other side.
Yeah. But
everybody, not everybody would be able to articulate it if you asked them, and not everybody's is the same.
I'm sure.
I broke down crying in the middle of a song in the choir loft one day. Like I had to literally walk out because I'm very cognizant of being disruptive in service, which I shouldn't be, but I am. So I had to walk out and I could not have told you why. I could not have pinpointed anything specific that had happened to me that week. I couldn't tell you, but I was like sobbing, like chest heaving, sobbing in the middle of a song. And I just really couldn't pinpoint it. So people aren't always able to you know, they may not know. They just know it's what they feel.
So, and again, and that's, I'm with that. That's fine. My point is, when I juxtapose that, which I've seen in the church, you know, feels like 5,000 times, right? Of somebody really going through it, right? When I juxtapose that to some, I hate to sound like the old nigga, but I guess it's who I am now. Some of the younger people who I see on the gram and all that doing this shuffle. For, I don't know what the dance
I call. Old people do the shuffle too.
Let me finish. When I see some of the younger people doing a shuffle, and like I said, when I'm looking on Instagram and this dude was in Oakland and this woman is in Houston and this woman is in, you know, Baltimore, Maryland, and they're doing the same shuffle while somebody's filming it, that makes me feel like, in some cases, this is a show. You're doing this for a show because you're hearing the music, so you're hearing the music, you're hearing the tambourines, you're hearing the high tempo of the drummer. I got it. And this and this is what, in your mind, what you're supposed to do when you hear that. I don't feel like it's always you're doing it because you feel it. It's because, oh, they're playing that part of the rec. They're playing this music. This is what we all supposed to do right now. It wasn't better than that. That's how I feel.
Well, some churches, especially holiness churches and apostolic churches, that literally is what you're supposed to do. Like they expect you to express yourself on that level. Those are also the churches where they speak in tongues and do all of that kind of stuff. Maybe in good old, you know, what you call it, Abyssinian Baptist church, you are not going to see that because.
Let me talk about what you was about the tongues too.
Yeah,
because that also can get irking to me too, and I know I'm going to hell for everything I'm saying.
I'm
gonna bring it back around. I'm sorry, with the holy fire about to hit my ass. But I also notice sometimes when you see the tongues, some people just do the tongues and then jump right back into regular English. I'm like, hold on, fam.
What do you think they're supposed to do?
Like if you jump into the tongues, I'm feeling like you should be like you should be, your mind should be in a space where it's brought you to speak in tongues. If you could just be like, I'm sure, so anyway, back to
do you have scriptural reference for your feeling of this? You do not.
I'm just talking about what I've seen.
I know. You know what? So there's two different things with speaking in tongues. The actual thing, speaking in tongues, is supposed to be overcome by the Holy Spirit, and it's moving through you and it's speaking through you. But some people also speak in tongues when there is not a sufficient word for the praise they want to get out.
So it's almost like Yiddish, where you go back and forth.
I mean, it's not even Yiddish because there's no specific phrases. Like, you're literally just uttering whatever. But I think sometimes people go there when there is not, like, there's not a hallelujah strong enough. There's not an amen strong enough. So you go to... So whatever. But you going to hell. This is the Jeffrey going to hell portion.
All right, let's get off this tangent because Bruce said, I say shit.
He really did.
Bryce said the word like we talk about love and hip hop. He's like, I ain't saying nothing. Yeah, y'all niggas can have that.
Woo, okay. I was not trying to get struck by lightning.
You know I love you, Lord. You know I love you.
That's trying to take us all to hell. Glory.
Oh, my goodness. Okay,
I'm just laughing at this nigga in church. Look at that.
You need to be in church with your mindset on the Lord. That tells me that you ain't even doing what you're supposed to be doing.
You're not even supposed to know
what nobody else is doing in the church.
For the Lord, and Sister Estelle is taking up 25 minutes praise dancing.
Now he's ready for the game.
We're ready to go.
First half.
Yeah, sweet third quarter. Shit. Let's get off this. I want to give a shout out to Missy Elliott. Last week, I attended the Songwriters Hall of Fame event.
First woman rapper inducted. Woo!
Yeah, first woman rapper inducted. Queen Latifah did the honors of inducting her. It was her, Dallas Austin, who I didn't know was going to be inducted.
How did Dallas skip other people in the fucking line?
Well, this is my theory. Well, first of all, he's got, you know, he's obviously got hits, right? So that's not the issue. Yeah. But I also believe that Dallas is has, and for so, I don't know how, I don't, and I think it's a natural thing. I don't think it's something that he is doing like as a conniving or whatever. Dallas has always been just from long as I've kind of known him and known about him, he's always been a very well liked person in the music industry, on the black side, on the white side, with the executives, with the power brokers. They just really like him. Like they all, he has great relationships with like a lot of the higher ups. And again, this is natural. He's not like a fronter. He's not like acting funny. This is who he is. And I think that might have helped him maybe go in front of some people who haven't made it yet, because he's just a really well liked person in the business. And he does have the hits. He's got the stats. So it's like he doesn't, but I also think that he's also very well liked and very admired. So he went in. Jermaine inducted him. Like I said, Latifah inducted Missy. Jermaine did like a DJ set bringing Dallas in. So he kind of DJed a lot of Dallas hits, which was real fun. Lizzo performed, bringing in Missy. Cat Stevens got in. Halsey got she's not in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, but she got kind of got like a like up and coming hot star award. I can't remember the next title award. Justin
now
Timberlake.
I wonder about how Halsey was there already.
Yeah, because she got an award for writing. Benny Blanco presented her. Justin Timberlake also got an award. He's not in the Hall of Fame, but he got an award, which obviously more than likely later on he will get in as well. There's a lot of big heavy hitters there. You know, Kenny Gamble was there, Mr. Gamble, talked to him for a little bit. You know, a lot of executives. It was a fun night. It was a good night. Everybody had a good time. You know, the awards were great. You know, it was a really well done event. So I just wanted to kind of say shout out to her for that.
Missy really having the best couple of years ever.
Yeah, she's having a great run. I told her, so see what happens when you fuck with me? I'm just teasing.
Yes, because this is
all.
Look at
this. Yeah, obviously I'm teasing it. Yeah, I'm told you. Yeah, obviously I have nothing to do with none of this. But I'm just, you know, fucking with her.
Where's single though? Never mind.
No, we're working. We got it, but whatever. I'll talk to you offline. Bro, you want to talk about that dad barbecue video?
Yeah. So, I mean, so BuzzFeed, like they did with the mom's soul food cooking, you know, as they are apt to do, they took their content from Black Twitter suggestions, which immediately says this needs to be a black dad barbecue.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this is BuzzFeed's black. I want to point out that this is Cocoa Butter BuzzFeed, which is their
black arm
content, like division arm, whatever. Yeah.
Okay. So they proceeded to have four men come out, and the goal was for them to make two dishes, one main dish, one side dish, ribs and baked beans. Mm-hmm. So they had one gentleman who I think for most of us that have really eaten barbecue kind of felt like he was the front runner, because dude was like a smooth 275.
With the black dirty t-shirt and the cornrows.
Yeah, he had the cornrows.
I know he had a black towel somewhere in the green room.
Yeah,
that they made him
take off his shoulder. He definitely has a fat boy rag. He definitely has a fat boy rag. And then we had another gentleman who looked to be, you know, maybe he was like 35, maybe.
Oh, that guy
with the black shirt on and the glasses. I couldn't remember his name.
Yeah,
there was another gentleman who also wore glasses but had a light blue sweater on, and again looks to be early mid 30s as you know, the worst case scenario, right? Yeah.
Like nobody in this shit was over 40.
Not at all. And then there was one guy with a green beanie on, and I'm going to get to him.
Half a beanie.
Yeah,
so the goal was for them to do, you know, again, you do ribs, right? And so one of the things I will say, like as the person who does the grill, like there was no specific way they were supposed to do these ribs. Like Were you grilling them? Were you smoking them? Were these in the oven?
Barbecue.
Yeah, that's well. That's where, especially, and a lot of these guys sound like they were from New York, right? And while New York, obviously, we have a ton of roots in the South, mostly North Carolina, South Carolina. You know, we know what barbecue is, right? Like, it's not like we know what barbecue is, but, you know, for the most part, many of us didn't grow up being able to make barbecue regularly. Like, you just didn't have that access. So you would make it in the oven. You would, you know what I'm saying? You would. In order to, you know, have your barbecue. So the long and the short of it, they didn't really specify. So my man with the blue comes in. And he has his ribs and he has his baked beans. And my man basically had the fucking Chinese restaurant ribs with the bright red sauce on it.
Word. And the sesame seeds.
And the sesame seeds. It was just like you've never, clearly you've never fed anybody like named Irma or Mr. Wendell. Like, you've never fed anybody black if you thought that those ribs were okay to serve.
No doubt.
You just never done it.
You just stopped at the Chinese food store on the way
Fam.
To the fucking studio.
yo, it's like, dude, like, them ribs were fucking, you can tell they were terrible. So then you have dude who was talking cash shit. He was the Miss J in this video.
And
that's the dude with the black on. And his ribs, like dude's ribs weren't even done. Like big fella was like, I'm not even eating that. Like, I'm not even so dead ass. He pushed that plate to the side. He was like, these ribs are not cooked.
I'm good.
I'm good, love. Enjoy. So then we get to the man that I thought was quite interesting. This, I can't remember his name, but this was the guy with the green beanie on.
Yeah.
He says,
I don't remember his name either.
He says, he forgot to bring the ribs.
How you forget the ribs, though? Like, the ribs are the star of the show.
Nigga, you had two things to bring. Like, yo, I was so irritated. Like, honestly,
and that ain't a forgot. You ain't cooked no ribs and leave them on your kitchen counter. Dude, that's first not of a
all,
forgot.
I actually would have stomached. I actually would have stomached it better if he had just said, yo, man, I just ain't have the $25 to go get no baby back.
Or I just ain't feel like making them shits.
Or I don't really know how to make ribs.
Yeah,
I just
whatever.
My way onto this
suggested him to do that, and he just dropped the ball. And and I'm like, dude, like, are you serious? Like, right now? Like, dude, are you serious? Yo, I was so angry. I would have slapped every piece of food out of him. He wouldn't have ate nothing that day.
You don't get to eat, nigga. You don't get to eat.
You can't even
legit just finessed his way in there just to eat.
No champagne, no fried rice, you get nothing. Like, that was just wild to me. And then big fella, he must have cooked beef ribs, because them was big ass them ribs.
Huge.
But they was definitely falling off the bone. And he, you know,
and he came with his own with the plastic plate with the plastic.
Yeah, he was doing. He was right. You know, look.
And that's what I know for sure. He either worked in the kitchen or had his own spot, which he does.
Apparently he does. And
oh, he got a spot. Dude, I didn't know that. Oh,
dude had greens. He had yams. So he was doing a little bit of extra shit.
So he left beans off, I believe, on purpose. I believe he just decided he didn't want to put beans on the plate.
Well, two things. Unless you're talking about some real down south, like some really below the Mason-Dixon line shit, like, everybody's taking them beans out the can. Because nobody's spending
a day.
7 hours making beans. They're just not doing it.
Right.
Nah. Now, you take the beans out the can, you might throw some extra seasoning in them.
It's about how you doctor up what you get in the can. That is what they're really talking about. But nobody is taking the actual bean as a dry unit and doing
it. And I think he knew that. I think he made a comment about beans out of can, but his thing was just like, you just throw whatever in it.
You
never do beans out of can. You got to still let them simmer for a little while. And like you said, doctor them up really good.
Yeah, he didn't do beans out of can because also that's not, I mean, it's a solid side dish, but it's not a real, like, if you don't have beans at the barbecue, nobody's looking at you crazy.
Yeah, ain't nobody like, yo, where the beans at?
Yeah, nobody's beans.
Like, it ain't got no beans in here.
It won't be that. You know what I'm saying?
But most of the time, I mean, beans end up kind of getting kind of, they kind of end up sitting there, you know?
Yeah, like, what?
You don't want too many beans and you start farting and all that shit. You don't want too much beans.
As a grillmaster, what would you have recommended as a better side than beans? I think they were also just thinking about, like,
First of all, I think that if to gauge somebody's barbecue, you probably should have just said chicken.
They probably didn't because they didn't fry chicken from Mother's Day.
But you should have given them because the difference is that even with chicken, like, you can do different things. You could do pulled chicken, you can do pulled pork. You could do skin on. You could smoke it. You could, you know what I mean? You could grill. It's just a ton of ways you could do chicken. There's a lot of it's an easier thing to make, to be quite honest.
Right.
You know, ribs is a very you don't have to do a lot in terms of preparation, but it takes a really long time for them to get done. If you're doing
your pop, you have to actually have
ribs take from the night before.
Yeah,
start messing with them.
Yeah, for me, I would have said potato salad, like instead of.
And they
probably didn't because, like, a mayonnaise-based food, like, everybody can't do good potato salad. But I agree. That's
what
I
was going to do. Yes, and that is usually the determining factor, right? You've never been to a barbecue where the chicken was good and the potato salad was terrible. It may have been not as good as you liked, but it's never going to be
It wasn't trash, though.
Yes, right, that's what I'm saying. It's never going to be trash, right?
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was in jest, but a lot of them dudes didn't, I didn't get the sense that they really barbecued, and there's a big difference than cooking your ribs in the oven versus putting them on the grill. Like, a huge difference.
My homeboy with the Banana Republic butter did fucking Korean barbecue with, like, a sweet and sour.
Like, what is that, dude? Like,
you know that's not what they meant. You know that's not what they meant.
And he didn't, and that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't know these particular guys, but like I said, if they're from New York City, then they more than likely live in a place that doesn't have access to just being able to make ribs in the middle of the week.
It was disrespectful, but like, I mean, like I said, we're enjoying the videos. I'm very curious to see what the next one they do is.
Oh, they did one yesterday, which was millennials watching classic.
Oh yeah, so I saw that first time. I saw clipping that on Twitter.
That shit pissed me off.
Yeah. I have to sit and watch that whole thing.
Yeah.
Have you all been watching Pose?
Yes.
You been watching it, bro?
Nah, man. It's same. And let me just say this too. Just because I don't necessarily watch a show doesn't mean that I don't get its importance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I just, it's just not, it's, it just hasn't been in my wheelhouse, and it just, you know,
okay,
I haven't got to it.
Yeah, it's only
not on some, I'm not watching that shit. You know what I mean?
You just ain't got to it yet.
I haven't had time.
Yeah.
There's only two episodes in, so if you want to catch up, you know, you can still kind of do it if you got a couple hours one day to kind of binge. But the first two episodes have been good. You can feel, I think you mentioned this last week, you can feel the uptick on the production values.
Oh, like, yeah,
it feels, it looks, I mean, it looked fine before, but just like a little, you could feel like it's a little more richer money.
It's a little richer.
A little richer, you know what I'm saying? It just looks a little better, you know what I mean? Like, just a little better. This week, the two main stories were Blanca starting her, she's opened up a nail salon on 116th Street, you're on the east side. And it's kind of like a combination of, obviously, prejudice on her because she's trans, and this white woman who owns the space that she opened up on.
I think it's supposed to be Leona Hemsley.
Could be. It's definitely like we know, being New Yorkers, there are a ton of those types.
Yeah.
In New York City.
A real estate magnate, having gotten, like, she was supposed to be like the biggest female real estate owner in New York, somebody said at one point. So I really do think she was supposed to be Leona Hemsley.
Okay.
Well, I think a lot of people have forgotten, like, she used to be such a character.
Yeah.
I think, and Leona, didn't Leona leave like her estate to her pet or something?
Yeah, she left her estate to her dog.
I think she was supposed to be Leona Hemsley.
Yeah. So she owns the space up on the east side, and she talks about gentrification. She actually talks about gentrification.
Yeah.
Like, I just, you know, I don't really care fuck about this space or whatever, but I just know that if I get the right things in here and things start to change, the prices go up and I make money.
She literally said, she said by 2000, there will be nowhere in the city where white people will feel uncomfortable.
And she, and that's absolutely correct.
Yep.
And it's absolutely correct because this is based in 1990. So she saw the, it was interesting that she was showing you how the plans were in motion.
Oh, yeah.
That long ago. You know what I mean? And now, well,
1990 was the beginning of like that really widespread gentrification happening. Because East Harlem got it first because so much of East Harlem was new construction.
Yeah.
West Harlem was more renovation, but East Harlem was a lot of new construction.
Yeah, because East Harlem was so raggedy. Was a lot. Yeah. Some blocks still are raggedy. So they were just knocking shit down and putting up new stuff. So it was.
And then the other story was finding out that Elektra is now a dominatrix.
Yeah, and making wild paper
for her. Yeah, because she got all these white Wall Street types.
Yeah.
Which was actually perfect. It's perfect for her, but I suspect. We see in the previews that she's going to come to Blanca for help next week. I suspect that the dude who keeps doing drugs is going to OD. Because they bring up in a preview her once again saying that she doesn't approve of doing drugs. And then she goes to Blanca and you see her saying, like, what am I going to do?
Yeah. So those are kind of like the two main. Oh, and then the third story was Damon, the dancer kid, breaking up with his boyfriend who was on tour with Albie Shore. And I thought that was just kind of interesting to show that, you know, and then even now, obviously still now, but I think now a lot of the male dancers are way more comfortable being out with their sexuality. But in the 90s, there were like a lot, you know, obviously there were dancers going on tour with, you know, Al and Guy and Bobby Brown, you know, whoever the big artists were at the time. And, you know, like a lot of those dudes were gay, but like you wouldn't know it.
They were closeted. Yeah.
They were closeted. So it was kind of interesting that they kind of used Ricky to show that, like, this guy who's a dancer on this big tour, you know, was actually like has a boyfriend and stuff at home, but like on the road, I'm sure, like, you know, he was out there just kind of dancing and being, you know,
being
macho. So, Go ahead.
I think the other thing I wanted to point out was there was a tribute to ballroom queen Hector Extravaganza.
Yeah.
With the standing skirt routine, which was really just dope and beautifully choreographed, but that was a real ballroom moment that happened. So that was a real ballroom history that they incorporated into the show.
Yeah, show's been good, man. It's like it's really good. And it's kinda, I think I said this last season, but I feel like even now more this season, like, not, I guess, I don't know if forget is the right term, but I don't even think about the fact that they're trans anymore. I'm just into the storylines. You know, I'm not even tripping on.
I'm still hyper aware of the fact that they're trans because, I mean, part of I think we got to be careful when we say that because it's kind of like the I don't see color thing. Part of it is to understand that even though they are trans, their stories are still very human. And still very relatable and still not that different from ours, right? And, you know, I think about Blanca's point when Angel was like, your style is horrible. And Blanca was like, tell me that when you can't go into a women's fitting room because you got to grab whatever you can grab before you get clocked in the store and get kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time to try stuff on. I can't tell if it fits until I get home. I can't, you know, so I think it's important to still be aware that these are trans people, but that, again, trans people are people. You know what I mean? Like, they still have family shit, relationship shit, like that, which is the point of the TV show, you know?
Well, let me rephrase it. I've accepted that they're trans, and so I don't trip. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, it's kind of
what it is, you know? Like, I don't know. It's not like you're watching with fascination, like, ooh, I've never seen something like this
before. Yeah, I'm just like, oh, yeah, it's, you know, Blanca's a trans woman, but whatever. Like, oh, shit, that's an ill story. You know, it's like, you know, so it's a really good show. I really enjoy it. I wanted to talk a little bit about your man, Joe Biden. Joe Biden is running, you know, former vice president, is running for presidency 2020 for the Democratic nomination. He's, as of now, he's in the lead by a fairly large amount. I mean, there's people kind of slowly gaining. Elizabeth Warren is gaining a little bit of track. It's way out. It's like, you know, it's a year away before it gets like super serious. But, you know, in these early stages, Elizabeth Warren's gaining a little traction. You know, Kamala's kind of staying steady. Bernie's kind of fluctuating. But Joe's in the lead right now. But Joe has been definitely showing his age and his old schoolness in a lot of the answers that he's given to questions, a lot of his approach to things. I mean, he is a 76-year-old man. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that to make an excuse for him, but like I think you kind of forget.
Like, that's why he shouldn't be in the race. Actually.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's almost 80. Like he's old. He's an old guy, you know. And he's been in politics since he was 29, so he's been doing this for like, you know, almost 60 years. So it's like the 50 years rather. So, you know, he's set in his ways in a lot of cases. So last week it came out that he was talking about a segregationist that he ended up doing some policy, wrote some policy with. And he was talking about how he was able to work with this guy, and he made a joke like, oh, this guy never called me boy, and he never, you know, said anything to me, and we were able to get policy done, and that, of course, you know, riled up a lot of the Democratic candidates, including Kamala, including Cory Booker. Cory Booker, I think, kind of went at him the hardest. Elizabeth Warren also went at him hard. Joe said that his point was, even for a person who he, you know, disagreed with on almost everything, he feels like you still got to try to find a way to reach across the aisle and get shit done. But I think, I just think in 2020 and on, I don't know if that's really going to work anymore. You know, that we can cross the aisle.
The problem with Biden, his moment was 16. Like,
I agree with that. I think he would have won in 16.
He 100% would have won. And I understand why he didn't run, right? Mm-hmm. But it was just really poor judgment to assume that he could pick that back up now. First of all, like, we're moving away from the old white man. And if he takes office, he will be, like, Trump was already the oldest person to take office. Biden will be even older than Trump, as will Bernie. And part of my problem with Bernie is that he's an old white dude, like, just completely out of touch. It doesn't matter who you surround yourself with. And you also need a certain level of fitness for office. And people keep telling me it's ages. And I'm like, it's really fucking not. Like, it's the person who we are entrusting the entire future of the country to. You need somebody who actually relates to the country, right?
Yep.
And the other part is that literally all Joe had to do was not destroy the goodwill he had banked. And every time he opens his mouth, that's exactly what he's doing.
So yeah, he's chipping away at it.
All he can do is fuck it up. Exactly. All he can do is fuck it up. And it's painful to watch. Like, he'll still be in the lead. It'll still take a while because people trust him. But when you really examine Joe's shit closely, he's got a lot of shit. Like you said, anybody who's been in politics this long, your style has evolved and changed, and your ideals and your political.
Did not freeze up.
Whatever you want in 1986. Y'all can't hear me?
Yeah, you froze.
You froze for a quick second, but go ahead.
I was going to say, anytime anybody has been in politics since, as long as Biden has, there's going to be some troubling things in their past. Your political theology is going to evolve over time. And but people are still going to go back. Like, after his remarks, somebody dug up something he said about Strom Thurmond, who was a horrible, flaming, terrible fucking racist, a South Carolina state senator who was senator for 152 years until he died, about, you know, Biden praising Strom in like 1990. I think he's going to hold the lead for a while because people probably do think he's the only person who can beat Trump. But I just, it's just not a good idea. Like, he really doesn't need to be out there. He really doesn't need to be out there. He's reminding us all that he's old and white.
Yeah exactly. Go ahead, Sean.
He's just of a bygone era. He's just of a bygone right. era. And he doesn't, we are no longer, there is a, you know, social media and media in general has really sort of bypassed a lot of these guys, particularly the men who had really sort of come into their own in politics prior to that. They were able to use charisma and charm and working a room as tools, and they really could do a lot of backdoor shit. A lot of things weren't really brought to light. They weren't really examined in the same way that they're examined now. And I think that, you know, Joe was just in a position where the layers of his onion is just being peeled back, like, mm-hmm. You know, like by the week. Right. And then you're reminded of the Anita Hill hearing.
Right.
You're reminded of the crime bill. Right. Like, and even though there was a lot of support and, there, you know, what we do know is that there was a ton of unintended consequences for that. And what you see is you see a guy just kind of floating around to see how the wind blows. And there's a lot of name recognition. Like, I can't really, it's very difficult for me to fathom why anyone would see him and think that this was, you know, a great option. For the country. Joe is kind of, look, I don't mean to be disparaging, and I hate that it might sound like that. You know, look, man, Joe doesn't want to fucking be in the house. Like, that's this is very much like what would happen when athletes would retire when it was their time, right? And they would have these marriages. Yo, I've been married for 25 years, and them niggas retire, and they be home for 7 months, and they divorced.
It's like, she's whack.
Right.
Because they home. He just won't go outside. He won't be outside. He won't kick it with his boys. Like, the fact that we're still having Joe that's inappropriate conversations, like, Joe, you can't really, like, be smelling people here. Like, it's not. like we're having a very real conversation because that is, in essence, what he was very good at.
That's how he charmed people.
He's a charmer, right? And so when you can't do that anymore, and you have to now sort of, like I said, you have to peel back that onion. You have to kind of be exposed a little bit and sort of really stand on some shit. Like, you got to stand in something.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, to me, he doesn't stand in any one thing.
Yeah, I agree. He's just kind of freestyling. And, you know, I don't know who he's got around him. I don't know if he's got a bunch of young people around him or not, but he's just kind of freestyling.
His communications manager is a black woman named Simone. Why am I suddenly blanking on Simone's last name?
Oh, Simone Sanders.
Yeah, Simone Sanders. Mm-hmm. And Simone was also Bernie Sanders' communication manager. So she's getting raked over the coals a little bit because, like, you just out here caping for white man after white man. But I'm sure she's trying. Yeah. I'm sure she's trying, you know,
this is why that whole being a political pundit becomes very tricky, because very much like sportscasters, right? Like, they have their favorite teams, they have the teams that they root for, right? But you have to have some level of objectivity. And you gotta be able to do that. Like, you gotta be able to do that job with understanding people's points of view and understanding that it's them not being unreasonable.
Yeah. You can't be like, I'm gonna keep doing shit my way regardless of what the times are now. I'm just gonna keep going my way.
Yeah, the day of the Geechee is over.
Yeah, it is. It is. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm hoping maybe somebody else throws their hat in the ring that's a little more, you know, that has a little more kind of today with them, you know. I don't know who that is, but you know, I don't know. It's just kind of tough. I know y'all stopped watching it. Y'all didn't catch the Chi, but I just wanted to mention it real quick because it was the season finale this week past. It was really good. Like, it's actually, you know, it did a Wire-esque type of ending, you know, kind of wrapping, you know, not really wrapping stories up, but kind of like advancing them forward, but in a kind of a cool way. At the end, it was a lot of it was done over Donny Hathaway song, and it was a lot of like vignettes or whatever. But it was actually a really good season.
Donny Hathaway song. He has multiple.
What is it? One Day We'll All Be Free.
Oh, One Day We'll All Be Free.
Yes, okay. Yes. One Day We'll All Be Free. Yeah. So
he has multiple.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got a lot of records. Donny got a lot of records. So that he did over that one. Now Donny's Chicago. No, he's from St. Louis originally. But anyway, so like, so yeah, it was really good. It's really well done. I'm hoping they get picked up for season three. You know, with Jason Mitchell being gone and the woman.
Yeah, girl, I feel like we would have heard by now.
Yeah, I'm getting a little nervous.
It might be up in the air.
I'm getting nervous, yeah, because Jason's gone and his character, you know, this, they wrote out his girlfriend who left the show because of the harassment. They wrote her out on the last episode, but it made sense how they did it. But obviously they didn't write him out because that had all that stuff with him came to head after. Yeah. Right. And so he's like, he's still a main character to this show. Like his character's a huge cog in the show. So I don't know how they would just next season just not have him there. Because it leaves so many balls hanging in the air, so I don't know what they're going to do.
You can always figure out creative, right? Like there's a way to always get around creative.
They could recast if nothing.
What you can't figure out is legal.
Yeah,
I don't know where they are or what that means, or if this woman is pursuing legal action.
I don't think she is. I got the feeling that they took care of her so she wouldn't.
Yeah, but until that document is signed, right? Yeah. Like that door is still open. Like we could agree in principle.
Yeah, but it ain't a deal until it's signed and done.
Until that is cleared away, until that is off the table, until you know legal says, "Hey, there are no additional ramifications for this," and we can figure out what the next steps are, because they will also be expected at this point, I'm sure, like, how do we make sure this doesn't happen again? Because clearly production knew about this and didn't act in a way that would have been according to any standard of workplace in 2019. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not saying they ignore, you know, I don't know the ins and outs. That's not necessarily, again, what I'm judging. I'm just saying that this could linger around because there are potential ramifications legally.
I got you.
That can make this very tricky and very messy and very dicey. And a big part of Shy's angle was leaning on the fact that it was Lena's show. She was at the helm. Mm. And if they're not able to use that, does that impact whether or not they want to keep going with the show?
Yeah.
And also, was the show a winner? Like, was the show?
Yeah, were the numbers? Were the numbers? Yeah,
were the numbers overwhelming? It's just like,
I don't think the numbers overwhelming. I doubt that.
It's just like having an artist back in the days, and they'd always be in that sort of 350,000 to 400,000, and you're like, okay, it's like the third album, and you know, there's no growth here. They're still doing okay. They're putting food on the table, you know, but now they want big videos, and you're like, this ain't really worth it.
Yeah, yeah, the albums are good, but you know we don't need to have you here.
We ain't got no hits. Exactly. We ain't got no hits.
We ain't got no hits. So what we doing? So we'll see. Quick thing. The Lakers traded for Anthony Davis last week. So now it's LeBron, Anthony Davis. The draft was yesterday, and I guess the second piece of it is today.
It's just two rounds. NBA only does two rounds.
Oh shit! Oh, okay. Oh, it's not like NFL. Yesterday. Okay. So what do you think, bro? You think the Lakers going to make some noise next year?
Yeah, I think they're going to make some noise. I think that the West is going to be crippled. I mean, you basically got KD and Klay out.
Yeah, for the season.
You got turmoil in Houston. You got Chris Paul and who's basically, excuse me, who basically seems like he's on the trading block. So there's up there.
Yep.
There's really nobody of note. You know, the Lakers have a really small window here, right? Anthony Davis is kind of in that part of your prime where you like really become dominant. To me, years between 6 and 12 are like literally your prime years. Like you,
like 27 to 34, or something like that.
He's good. Yeah, he's probably, because Anthony Davis is probably like what, 26?
Five.
Yeah,
25. 25, 26. Yeah.
So 25, 26 to like 32, dude. Like, yeah, you're never gonna be as strong, as quick, as powerful as you are during that period. So
yeah,
they know that they have LeBron on the last leg of his, you know, run, and they need to get this thing done right now. So I think they're going to pull the trigger. I think this is going to be attractive for free agents. You're probably going to get a lot of activity with mid-level free agents.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, you sell in LA, you sell and put together a great team, and you can go out there and get a couple people.
Go out there and compete for a ring, you know? Yeah. Hey, did y'all see Nicki's video, heard the song yet?
No.
Okay, you heard it, Nye?
No, but somebody said it's quintessential Nicki, and they think it'll be a bop for the summer. But I'm sure it'll make its way to my ears. I'm not going out of my way to go listen to it.
I mean, yeah, you'll hear it. It's very, it's kind of like a very dance hall-y type of song. But I mean, Nicki does the Nicki thing, which has always been an irksome thing to me as she's gotten on her career. She like feels like she like crams so much into one song. It's like 40 things going on. It's like, can't you just like rock out? There's always have to be a change every 8 bars, a whole different thing, you know, say, but you know, we'll see. You know, I don't know. It's you know, I'm very interested to see what it does. One other thing I wanted to mention is I saw something, I guess last week, that the taxi drivers in New York won something, so to kind of fight back Uber. Am I right on this?
Yeah, you're right. So taxi drivers have won. They haven't won. There's a proposal right now for a $10 million, basically a bailout. A $10 million bailout the city council is looking to approve to have some of the taxi medallions sort of renegotiated to some degree.
Yeah,
and there is there's been a lot of issues regarding the yellow cabs and the astronomical rates that it is costing for people to, you know, acquire those medallions.
Like crazy money, like $700,000.
Yeah, I believe it was something like it peaked at like something like $1 million before it crashed in 2014. And so say like in 2002, that same medallion was like $200,000,
mm-hmm.
which even in 2002 money is like, it's a lot of fucking money.
Hell yeah, it's a lot of money.
So they're also uncovering a scheme or, you know, basically, I don't want to say it was like it's kind almost like the equivalent to redlining, right? Like they had these sort of structures set up where everybody got fat, and mm-hmm. they would have these folks that were in virtually no position to argue in terrible loans. And
terrible.
You know, some of these
like
guys
mafioso level.
Even worse. Like you actually would have been better off going to Paulie Walnuts in the back alley behind the Bada Bing.
Yeah.
And you would have came out better than you know. There's nothing worse than a fucking Wall Street banker, because when they smell blood, man, they coming to get it, and they've derived this plan to sort of make these things like really, really expensive. And if I'm not mistaken,
they basically own you. You know,
basically, and then they did. New York Times had done a large expose, and they were basically talking about how, you know, guys will go out and they'll work 12 to 14 hour days, and they're basically clearing like $26,000 a year. Like that's what they're clearing, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. they can barely survive. And I gotta be perfectly honest, man. And I know it's not a very popular thing to say, but it is something that has been on my heart, man, for a while. Like, I don't really have a lot of sympathy for them yellow cabs.
That's just where I was about to. I literally took the words out of my mouth, bro.
Yeah.
They have treated not people of color. I'm not gonna say that. They've treated black people
like shit.
Like shit for decades.
Because a lot of them are people of color treating black people like shit.
Yes. Yep. For decades. And the reason that companies, so before Uber and Lyft, there were basically, we would call them gypsy cabs. They were basically mm-hmm. livery cabs
mm-hmm.
that was, you know, in our neighborhood, it was Black Pearl. You know, mama wanted to go to church on Sunday. She missed the bus. You know, call down to Black Pearl.
Yeah. It was uptown is day night.
Yeah.
It's day and night. And for me up here is Cabrini.
Yeah, Cabrini. Yeah, the Heights. Yep. Day and night is African.
So if it wasn't for those guys, if it wasn't for those people, like, we wouldn't be in any position to move around in the city.
Right, and that's only the outer boroughs and uptown. In Manhattan, period, you would still be fucked.
Oh, yeah.
If you could get a yellow cab, or the yellow cab who would be like, I'm not going that far.
Or you would be in a situation where you'd actually have to truck it, cross town, and walk.
Yeah.
Yep.
You wouldn't be able to get one of those cabs.
Exactly. Yep.
And so I also don't, you know, look, man, I think that, you know, I think it's terrible to sort of put people's backs against the wall. But I also think that, you know, the city and the taxi commission people, they are also to blame here. I mean, as well as the people who signed these agreements, like the debt is insane. The debt is not manageable. It's not even remotely manageable. And so to blame this on Uber and Lyft, I say that because there was no restrictions. That was the other thing that they're proposing. They're proposing that the mayor basically put some restrictions on Uber and Lyft, which I found very interesting, because that's a lot of people that are supplementing the barely making it sort of income.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? Like, so forget the Uber Blacks. Those are professional cars. Those are people who drive for
everything. Exactly.
I'm talking about, like, there are people that they may only need a few hundred dollars a month to make sure that they're not going in a hole every month. And those are the people that are going out there. And so for them to now block that, to block that ability, it also, you know, I don't even understand the pricing. Like, I don't, like, none of that shit makes sense to me.
You know what else is interesting? I've noticed that was happening. I know now you've seen this too, is once you get past a certain point in Manhattan, maybe 110 or so, you don't see many yellow cabs at all anymore. Well, everybody uptown is doing Uber.
It's over, yeah, because you never saw. Well, here's what they did. You know, a few years before, right before Uber became popular, they had sectioned out a certain fleet of yellow cabs and made them green cabs.
Yeah, the green ones, yep.
And you were able to hail those because they recognized, because it has long been an issue for us who lived uptown in the outer boroughs. Like you said, if you were above 100, well, I'll say on the west side, if you were above 116th Street, you could not get a yellow cab, right?
It's over.
So they designated these green cabs that were for the outer boroughs and above 110th Street, I think. Mm-hmm. You could hail them there. They could go anywhere, but you could only hail them up there. Then Uber came. Then Uber and Lyft came. And even now, like, you'll see a yellow cab up to like 2/5, because, you know, they'll go to the restaurants and stuff like that. But after that, it's pretty much a wrap. But my thing is, like, to Sean's point, you can't blame Uber and Lyft, because there's a demand, because we also just got more motherfuckers coming into the city, right?
Yeah, and the way they said the people in the outer boroughs, especially the Black people in our boroughs, you left the door wide open for Uber and Lyft to come take this money, because we know, if you call a Lyft or an Uber, they're gonna be downstairs and they're gonna take you where you need to go. And they're gonna be no haggling, no questions.
Yeah, but also you gotta go. As the traffic becomes worse in New York, it's easier to call Uber and Lyft than to try to hail a yellow cab. Like, that whole game of, like, which block do I need to walk to make
it?
Especially, like, between those hours of, like, 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock when they change shifts, and they'll all be I'm only going to Queens type shit.
One of the things that I think is also interesting is that as the city has progressively gotten better and safer, right, you no longer have the ability to sort of jam up tourists the way you used to, right?
Nope.
Like, tourists are much more savvy now when they come to New York. If they come to New York and they are staying at a hotel near Times Square and they get tickets to a Yankee game, you know, 15 years ago, you know, they're going to be looking to take a cab.
Yep, and the cab is gonna give them gonna jerk them again because they know they're out of town. So they're gonna give them a crazy price.
Yeah, you know? And so now they realize, okay, you know, the subway is here. Boom, it's yep. Everything is labeled. We got trains that go right to those particular area and spaces. So there's very little room for you to get lost in. You know, I just think that first of all, I think that there are far too many yellow cabs, and two. I just think that restricting Uber is, I think it's a bad thing. It's like, you know, everybody wants fair market until they're being affected or impacted negatively by the fair market. And then it's all of a sudden now they want these restrictions.
Yep. Another area they're getting killed in is the airports.
Yeah.
Because, again, you should be able to take a cab to the airport. It was like that one kind of set fee, and then they play games, and it's the two fare zone. You got to pay the toll, and da-da-da. Now, again, you just take Uber, and you're out.
It cost me from Newark in a cab. Now, these aren't yellow cabs, but in a structured cab in the same vein, right, it would cost me $50.
From your crib?
From Newark to my crib, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. $50. Now, I'm getting in a fucking 2002 Crown Vic with a rickety seat that smells like an ashtray.
Word.
Okay. When I could call Uber and an Uber, you know, depending on the time, an Uber from the airport to my house can run me anywhere between $20 to at best $30.
Look at that.
At best $30.
Yep. And it's going to be comfortable.
It's going to be comfortable. It's going to be clean.
Yep.
They got the address. I don't have to talk to them either. Like, you know what I'm saying? All of that shit.
They left the door open. And like all three of us said, it's hard to have sympathy when you've been that dude standing outside either in a hot day or it's raining or it's freezing cold and cabs are blowing past you with that light on, like left and right, while you know you out here just trying to get a cab with like literally damn, they're running you off the, you know, out of the road to get to the white woman on the next corner. You know, it's like, oh, that's fucked up. I'm out here freezing and you going past me to get to them. But now you said that, and especially uptown in the Bronx and, you know, out in Queens and Brooklyn or whatever, like now it's like, yo, everybody got an Uber account and I know I can get where I got to go without having to deal with none of the bullshit. You left the door wide open and now you're losing all this money and you're trying to get bailouts and all this. And, hey, you know, I know it's tough, but like you're in these medallions things and that's fucked up, but like, I don't know what you want me to do, bro. I didn't sign that loan.
what was.
Right.
Hello?
Crazy, you scraped away all of the bullshit, right? Like the reason was built in, right? That was a part of the sell. And when I'm looking at these taxi medallions, I'm like, so you thought that you were going to be able to make $1 million?
And pay this off?
And pay this off. Dude, I'm dumb. Even with the $200,000, I'm like, how does that financially...
Because of course, the $200,000 is the $200,000. Ain't nothing to do with the interest. That's probably, I'm sure it's crazy.
Of course,
that's constantly running every day, and so that's why these guys are working 7 days a week, and they ain't spend no time with their families. It's like, yo, you basically like an indentured servant, bro. You're never getting out of this.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, we agree. So
we'll be in prayer.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Exactly.
Thoughts and prayers.
Exactly. Hey, as they say now, you hate to see it. we're gonna wrap it up on that note. I think we're good. We'll see y'all next week. If Trump don't put us in war with Iran. Oh yeah, we'll definitely be doing BET Awards wrap up next week. Obviously, none of us are going. Are you going out there, bro? Hello?
We lost on.
Okay. Well, I'm not going, and I'm not even missing the dome. I'm not even tripping. I'm good. So, yeah, we'll do a wrap-up on that next week. So we'll see y'all next week.
Later.
All right, cool. All right.
Okay, yeah, we lost.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast. Talk to you next week.